Let me please over to the book of Psalms. Let me see what chapter we're going to be in here. I believe we were in chapter 74. We're going to be in chapter 78. Chapter 78. This is the next in the series of Maskil Psalms, the Psalms of Instruction. And I thank the Lord that the Bible is a good instruction manual. Amen. God knows what we need. And I appreciate Him giving it to us. It's good to see each one of you tonight. How many's looking forward to the weather breaking and maybe some of this China crud and stuff being gone? Amen. I know that. And when y'all get that thank you letter wrote to China, I'll sign it before you mail it, okay? And we'll go from there. This Psalm 78 is the instruction or the maskil of Asaph. Asaph was a singer, and he was in the era of David, in the era of Solomon. And I'll just say tonight that God's people have always been a singing people. Amen. There were times when the children of Israel, they got the mully grubs, and they hung their harps upon the willow, so to speak. But I believe that singing among the people of God is very important. Amen. And I'm also glad God made a place for me in that. And that's called a joyful noise. And even that has to be interpreted before it gets to heaven. Amen. Mike, are you laughing at me or with me, brother? With me, okay. Just so we know where we stand. Amen. That's all right. Amen. Let's start reading in verse 1 in Psalm chapter 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Now, before I pray tonight, I'm going to ask a question. How many of you all make little notes in your Bible? How many of y'all make little notes in your Bible? Okay. You might have a note for Father's Day summertime or another next to this passage, do you? There's not much that I can remember, but I know I preached this on a Father's Day. And I'm going to tell you how I know I preached it on a Father's Day. I have in the margin of my Bible a dedicated father, a dangerous father, and a delivering father. But here's how I remember that I preached this on Father's Day. My daughter Charity said, "Daddy, that sure was a good message." I appreciate that. Coming from your children, amen. And I appreciate the Lord. But just because I've already preached it once don't mean I'm going to preach the same thing, but I'm going to use the same passage. One lady told a preacher one time, she said, "You've preached that before." And he said, "If you live long enough, I'll preach it again too." Amen. It's kind of different, but this is in the series. I'd never heard of a maskil back on that Father's Day when I was preaching this. Didn't know what it meant. But thank God tonight there's some instruction. Now, I don't know how far we're going to get tonight, but I think we're probably just going to cover first base in the chapter. And that's instruction concerning our family. Instruction concerning our family. Let me say this tonight. God gave us the institution of the family before He gave us the institution of the church. The family is important to God. Amen. God said, I want Christ to be the head of the man, and I want the man to be the head of the home, the head of the house. Amen. And God has some instruction here for the family, and I believe it's important. I'm going to give you some statistics tonight, and these may be off a little. You know how statistics are, but they're real close. Amen. You know, first statistic I want to start with, this one blew my mind. In the 1960s, 5% of married couples, this is the word they used, cohabitated before they got married. Now, y'all probably don't even know what that means, but if I said shacked up, how many know what that means? Amen. In other words, they lived together in the 1960s, 5%. I mean, that was the hippie era. That was the free sex era and all that stuff. Amen. And I could say other things, but it wouldn't be appropriate. But anyway, in the 1960s, you're looking at 5%. When you get up into 2010, more than 70% of young couples cohabitated before they got married. That blows my mind. And here we are just 10, 12, 13, 14 years later, and I know it's went on in my family. Let me just rephrase that. It's going on in my family. And in the world we live in, people think nothing about it. Amen. They think nothing about it. I'm not proud of it, but I've got two grandsons that went that way. I've got a granddaughter, thank God, moved back in with her dad, and she's going to get married in October. And I thank the Lord for that. Amen. I thank the Lord for young people. Listen, none of us get everything right, but for young people that's just trying to do it right. Amen. And I praise God for that. And then there's some statistics about divorce. And we're going to get into the scripture here in just a moment. But some of these statistics, they really shocked me. And I'm going to get down to a positive one here at the end that'll really blow your mind. And we're looking at the first marriage. In the first marriage, there 40 to 50%. End up in divorce. In the second marriage, 60 to 67% end up in divorce. Now listen to this. For those that are going to one service a week, your Sunday morning crowd, married couples that go, that is reduced by 25 to 28%, the divorce rate, for those that's going one Sunday a week. And for some, that's one Sunday a year. But anyway, and it's reduced that much. And then for those that are active in church and that are attending church on a regular basis, it's reduced 41%. But I want you to get a hold of this. This is something I did not know. I did not know this. But couples, married couples, that pray together on a regular basis. Is everybody listening? Married couples, you don't think I'm going to be talking to Aubrey and Kyle? You better believe I am. Amen. I want them to understand and hear this statistic. Married couples that pray together on a regular basis, one out of 1,152 end in divorce. That is 0.08%. I don't know about you, but that speaks to my heart. Say amen. I guess it'd be hard to be messing around on your wife if you got to bow before the throne of God every day with her. Amen? Amen. But the family, I just kind of threw that out there because the family to God is important. And by the way, one of the things that's wrong in our country, the family has been torn down. The men I ministered to those 10 years in prison, probably 9 out of 10 of them grew up without a daddy. Amen? And a mom. I can close my eyes and still see that on that newscast when that mom walked across the street and got her son and twisted his ear and walked him out of that gang back across the street. Boy, we need some more twisting ear moms. Amen? You're not going to go that route. Not going to do that. Amen? The family. God ordained the family. He says, give ear, O my people, to my law. You say, Pastor, where's the family in this? Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. He said, I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old. When I first read this, I thought this was probably talking about, like Paul talked about, the mysteries. In other words, the things that were hidden and then later revealed. But that's actually not what it's talking about in this text. When it's talking about the dark sayings of old, he's talking about things that are hard to be understood. And when you read this chapter, you're going to find out two things. Number one, God is a good God. And you're going to find out that his people are a rebellious people. That's hard to understand. These youngins stood up here. Brother Junior, you led us in the song about the love of God. And it's hard to understand how somebody that has experienced the love of God could turn, amen, and rebel against him. It's hard to understand how you could get thirsty in the wilderness and God tell Moses, smite the rock. The water comes gushing out of the rock like a river. You got all the water you can drink and then turn around a few days later and be complaining. Amen? Some things hard to be understood. It's hard to be understood. He said, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. I tried to get this straight in my mind, but if you read these next few verses, it looks like there's at least 5 generations that are represented here. That when I read this, that the Bible talked about the fathers, it talks about their children, it talks about a generation to come, then it talks about their children, then it talks about their children's children. 5 generations right here. In other words, for Miss Eve and I, it's not just about us. We've got children. They've got children. And Lord willing, it won't be long until they'll have children. And we're supposed to keep the thing going. Amen. Keep the ball rolling concerning the things of God. So there's instruction here concerning the family. He said, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Let me say this to you. I am not against praising God in the house of God. But I'll tell you this. Mom and Dad, there ought to be some praising going on at the house. I mean, our children ought to hear us pray. Our children, Brother Jason, ought to hear us say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. They ought to hear us worship God someplace other than just the house of God. Amen. The Bible said here, they're showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord, the strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. I was thinking about Brother Coulter's prayer letter last Wednesday night, and he was talking about the fellas that had hunted seals and hunted whales and yet had never heard the story of Jonah. You understand what I mean? James won't be very old, will he, brother? He's going to hear a story about a backslidden preacher, amen? And how that God, son, if you don't follow the Lord, he has a way of changing your mind, amen? He wants you to go to Nineveh. You better just go on to Nineveh, amen? Don't take off on that ship and go down to Tarsus. You better go the way God's leading. It's a wonderful story. And they say, well, How are they going to know if they don't have a mom and dad to tell them? And I'll tell you this. I need to look something up here real quick. There was a quote by Spurgeon that I found today that I thought fit right here when you're talking about the family. Let me see if I can find it here. Just a moment. This is what Spurgeon said. He said, the more of parental teaching, the better. He said, ministers and Sunday school teachers were never meant to be substitutes for a mother's tears and a father's prayers. I like that, don't you? But I tell you, the average couple today, they think, well, if they get some children's church or get some Sunday school, and well, they're relieved of their responsibility. Not so. God is telling us here that we need moms and dads that will instruct their children in the things of God. I believe it's important. He said he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. And we need to teach our children about the wonderful works that God has done. Teach them that God has left us a word, a Bible, a commandment that we could follow, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. I don't know about you, but I thank God. The Bible said children are heritage of the Lord. Amen. I thank the Lord for the children. Amen. You want to talk about a country that's mixed up. I'm talking about we mixed up bad. Whenever you go down to Alabama and an embryo is a child, and yet that embryo is on the outside, yet that embryo on the inside is just matter. We're mixed up. Somebody help me tonight. We are mixed up in this country. Amen. Of course, we got a Bible. We're not mixed up. We know that when our substance was not yet formed, God had his eye on us. Amen. We know that God called Jeremiah in his mother's womb. Called him, amen, in his mother's womb. We know that John the Baptist heard about Jesus coming and he was in Elizabeth's womb and he leaped. Some of you mamas think you've been kicked, amen. I'll tell you, Elizabeth got a good kick in that day, amen. I don't believe John done it halfway, do you? I believe with all of my heart, we know what the Bible teaches in Psalm 139. We know, amen, that God loves the children. And we know that God loves the family. The Bible said here that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Aubrey was in a bad wreck the other day. I think there was it four cars, Miss Eve? She just couldn't get stopped. Somebody bowed up in the road and somebody hit them. Somebody hit them and she couldn't get stopped and it didn't hurt her. I think she mostly got stopped. The front of the car is anymore made out of plastic. You can about throw a watermelon at them and total them. Amen. But anyway, when I talked to her, she said, Papa was listening to a song and I can't recall the title of the song. But it had Jesus in the title of the song. Well, I'll tell you one thing right now. Listen, I don't believe we ought to be distracted, but if we're going to be distracted by anything, that'll help. Say amen. It helped me to know that my granddaughter wasn't listening to AC/DC or Leonard Skinner or however you say his name. Amen. You know that bunch. Amen. Some of y'all looking at me like you don't know them. You do too. Amen. Some of us grew up with them. Amen. Boston, more than a feeling. I'm going to tell you something right now. I got saved. I lost my appetite for that stuff. I want to hear Jesus loves me. I want to sing my Jesus, I love thee. My favorite song is Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I'm not going to change the words to such a one as I, trying to make it sound pretty. Amen. You and I were wretched and lost and on our way to hell, drowning in sin. When Jesus reached down his hand, I can still see Brother Fred when he reached down his hand for me. Another songwriter said, God reached way below the bottom for me that night. Honey, I had to look up to see the bottom. Amen. But God's hand reached further down than I could reach up. What a blessing tonight. Amen. The family. Instruction concerning the family. The Bible said here that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. There's some things in the text here that God doesn't want them to forget. He doesn't want them to forget His law. He doesn't want them to forget what their fathers have told them. He doesn't want them to forget His wonderful works. He doesn't want them to forget His testimony that He's established. And the Bible said that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. Let me say this. Again, this is not original with me, but Spurgeon, he was a great preacher of yesteryear. He said, those who forget God's works are sure to fail in their own. I believe that's right. Those who forget God's works. You know, if we'd spend more time bragging on what God has done than what we have done, we'd be much better off. Amen. Those who forget God's works are sure to fail in their own. I've got a couple of things on my heart tonight that I want to share with you. First of all, I think, Brother Jason, you made a statement a while ago about the kids. I think you said we need the children to learn how to say He loves you too or something like that, brother. And the top of this right here was sticking out of my Bible, and the three words say, our children need. Now I'm going to tell you what's under that. Amen. Number one, our children need help from God. Let me say something to you. I believe it's a mistake to teach our children, mommy's watching you, daddy's watching you. Amen. I believe we ought to teach our children, God's a watching you. I like the little children's song, be careful little ears what you hear. Amen. Be careful little mouth what you say. Be careful little hands what you do. Be careful little feet where you go. Because there's a Father up above. And I like this. He's looking down in love. Why does He have His eye on the children? Because He loves them. Why does He have His eye on the family? Because He loves the family. He's ordained the family. I believe tonight our children need help from God. The Bible said here that they... How would they find help? Well, they need to be pointed towards the Scripture. Of course, they needed to be pointed towards the Savior. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, the help that we're going to find is going to come from knowing Jesus. And then the help that we're going to find to be able to teach our children about is going to come from obeying the Lord, obeying Jesus. But then they need to be taught something about the saints. It says, give ear, and then it says, oh, my people. Well, I'm glad I'm one of His, aren't you? Amen. One of His. Amen. Think about that tonight. There's a lot of people that wants to be a part of this or that or the other, a club or an organization. Honey, I'm in this church. The songwriter said, I didn't join. No, I was born. I'm in this church. Amen. I believe in the local church and joining the local church. Don't get me wrong, but honey, that church that's going to heaven's them born-again people. Amen. I believe the Lord with all of my heart is wanting us to teach our children that there's a God that wants to help them, a God that will help them. My mind just went back. I've told this story before, but I'm sure there's somebody here that's not heard it. Brother John was talking to me this week about tonsils. I had my tonsils taken out when I was 5 years old. Up until that point, I had severe earaches. I mean severe. And mom would take, we didn't know nothing about Pampers. Excuse me, Miss Eve, we didn't know anything about Pampers. But mom would take those cloth diapers and she would fold them over, one end over the other. It was a long cloth about that wide. And she'd lay it on that old oil stove. We had one of them big 500-gallon tanks outside the house with the home heating oil in it. I guess it's like kerosene, maybe not quite as clean as kerosene, but she'd lay it on that stove and she'd get it hot, Brother Gary, and then she'd wrap it around my head, and I tell you, it would ease off a little bit. And I'll never forget this. My mom came in the bedroom one night and I was laying there just bawling, hurting so bad. And my mom said this to me. She said, "Honey, Jesus won't hear me, but he'll hear you." Mama taught me a lot of things in life, and Daddy taught me more than Mama did. But that's one thing I'll never forget, that as a child, Mama wasn't walking with God. Mama didn't know the Lord, but she had sense enough to know. That youngin' laying there in that bed suffering, there's a God in heaven. I can point him to the Lord. And the Lord will hear him. And the Lord will help him. Amen. I like that. I like that. How many kids are growing up in this world? Their mama will never say anything like that. I'll tell you tonight, our kids need to be taught. Emma needs to be taught, Brother David. God will help you, honey. Amen. God will help you. God will help you. God will help you. Our children need help from God. And then the second thing that our children need, they need hope. How many believes that every day that goes by in this world, people are losing hope? The suicide rate's through the roof. People have no hope. But the Bible said here in verse number 6 that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God. I love the song, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not claim the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." I love to talk to people about the Lord. And one of the things that God has used down through the years is when I tell people that I know I'm going to heaven when I die. And then I tell them the reasons that are not the reasons that I know I'm going to heaven. I tell them I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. You know, you'd be surprised how many people think a man's going to go to heaven because he's a preacher or he's a church member or he's been baptized. I tell people, I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm not going to heaven because I try to be a good husband or because I try to be a good daddy. I'm not going to heaven because I pay my bills, like one lady told me. She said, "We're good citizens and we pay our bills and we don't hurt anybody." Therefore, she thought she was going to heaven. I looked at that lady and said, "If those things would get us to heaven, why did Jesus have to die?" And she shook her head. She said, "I've never thought about that before." Just a little while, her and her husband both were kneeling at the coffee table in the living room asking God to be merciful to them, realizing they were sinners, realizing they were lost. And Jesus went to Calvary so he could seek and save that which is lost. The only reason we're going to heaven is because of Jesus. Amen. That precious blood. He said that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. I'll say this tonight. Our children need, I'll give you three things. Number one, help from God. Number two, they need the hope. That's where they need their hope. They need hope in God.
But number three, our children. It wouldn't matter to me, Brother Gary, if my boy's a plumber or a carpenter or a preacher or a missionary. It wouldn't matter to me what my boy is. If I could just know my boy honored God with his life. Our children need to be taught to honor God. If our youngins try to be a plumber when God wants them to be a preacher, they'll be miserable. But if they try to be a preacher and God wants them to be a plumber, they'll be miserable. The best thing our children can do is honor God. Let me ask you this. How can we expect our children to honor God if we're not honoring God in our home? We ought to be honoring God with our faith. We ought to be honoring God with our finances. Say amen. We ought to be honoring God, beloved, with our future, knowing that we don't have any control. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in America, but I know what's happening is unsustainable. You see, God gave the widow in Elijah's day, was it a barrel of meal? Is that what it was, Miss Eve? And then another time, there was a widow that went and got all the cruses, you know what I mean, and they filled them with oil. And that meal didn't waste away as long as the famine. God didn't give our government a barrel that never runs dry. They act like it, but God didn't give them a barrel that never runs dry. And I'll say this, if we tried to run our home the way they're running the country, we'd go to jail. If we tried to run our church the way they're running the country, we'd go to jail for it. We're in trouble. But I tell you what we can do in the midst of the trouble. We can have a home that shines bright for the glory of God. We can teach our children, honey, God will help you. We can teach our children to put their hope in God. And we can teach our children to honor the Lord. And when they do that, and they come to the end of the way, you know what they'll be able to say? I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. You say, I thought that was just for preachers. Listen to the rest of it. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not for me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Amen. That's people that's honored God with their life. Amen. And so the instruction in the first part of the chapter here, it's given, it's a instruction of Asaph, a maskel, if you please, instruction concerning our family. I thank God for my family. My family's not perfect. Can I tell you why they're not perfect? Because their daddy ain't perfect. Can I tell you why Miss Eve ain't perfect? Because her husband ain't perfect. Amen. And that, really, we could go all the way back to a man called Adam. He wasn't perfect either. Amen. But God can take imperfect people and get honor and get glory as they look to Him for their help. How many's glad you come tonight?